Meeting of the House Revenue Committee. Welcome everybody here. Welcome back, Diane. And congratulations, Diane, if you haven't got your pictures up. Stay seated, we're not calling you up yet. Diane has pictures of her new granddaughter. So be sure to get those, get a look at that if you haven't seen it yet. We will begin with a work session on House Bill 2718. I will open that. Ed, do you want to orient us to time and place?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We are here and it is now. House Bill 2718 expands the list of recipients eligible to receive donated crops under the Crop Greening Income Tax Credit. The expanded list includes food banks and other organizations engaged in charitable food distribution. The bill changes will become effective for tax years beginning January 1, 2002. We had a public hearing on this last week, on the 23rd, and there was some question about whether it would have a significant revenue impact. I took a look at it in the last week and have pretty much come to the conclusion that the answer is no, or minimal impact anyway. There is a certain amount that's already allocated to this credit in the tax expenditure report. It shows that it says less than $100,000 per year total impact in the less than $100,000 biennial impact in 0103 of the existing credit. I can't find evidence that utilization of the credit is anywhere close to that amount currently. So my conclusion is that the changes in this bill will not cause the total credit to exceed the amount that's currently allocated in the tax expenditure report.
Okay. And one other thing I don't know that you mentioned that 2718 does is expands the credit to include the donation of already harvested crops. Yeah, so we're touching both the qualified recipients and also the definition of what is a qualified donation. Okay, Representative Kufuri, we're in work session.
I move House Bill 2718 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kufuri moves House Bill 2718 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Spay.
Aye.
Bass.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Pass.
Skewed.
Williams.
Skewed.
Yes.
Excused.
Aye.
Kufuri.
Aye.
Chair Shatterly.
Aye. House Bill 2718 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and with the committee's indulgence, I'll carry this one. My bill.
Good bill.
Thank you.
Can we pick the next one for you then?
Well, no.
One of those convoluted tax jobs.
But let's go to House Bill 20. Let me see. Ed, are you here on 2777 as well?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Who's doing it? Is that Paul?
Yes.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and do 2027. We'll bring up Lisbeth and open a public hearing on House Bill 2027. And invite Grandma Bell to come forward while Elizabeth is giving us the background.
We have pictures of the baby.
Diane,
yes.
Has pictures of the baby.
Absolutely.
All right, that is improper influence.
Aren't you supposed to ask permission for visuals?
I don't know, cuteness is in the ethics standard.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, with House Bill 2027, this is the last of the tax collector bills. And what it's doing is similar to ones that we've seen before, but it's establishing a different lien date for personal property, which is removed from the county between January 1st and July 1st. And the tax lien for the personal property that is removed from the county between that time period, that six-month period, is going to be the day preceding the date of removal of the sale or transfer of the property. This does not apply to manufactured structures or floating homes, because we've already dealt with that, the same issue in that other bill, House Bill 2031. It takes effect in tax year 2002-03. So again, prior to Measure 50, you had assessment and lien dates that were both the same day, July 1st. Now with Measure 50, you've got the differences of 6 months there between the January 1st assessment date versus the July 1st lien date. So again, you have the same problem where there could be personal property that could be removed from the county or the state between that period of time, and it can be difficult for tax collectors to get collect the unpaid taxes. So with as far as the revenue aspect of it, on average between 1996, 97, and 99, 2000, mm-hmm. The average annual amount of uncollected property taxes in the current year for personal taxes was around $3 million or 2.7% of the $110 million average annual personal property taxes are collected each year. So after 3 years, if you think about this $3 million, and then after 3 years, you are going to begin to collect more of the uncollected balance. You've got about over $300,000 that is still remaining uncollected. So using those same averages, it's estimated that this bill will help in reducing uncollected tax balance for possibly $1.1 million in the 2001-03 and $1.23 million in 2003-05 biennium.
Thank you very much. Diane.
Okay.
It sounds pretty familiar.
Yes, it does. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Diane Belt, and I represent the Oregon Association of County Tax Collectors, and I'm also the personal property tax collector for Washington County. House Bill 2027 is to improve customer service. When the tax collectors get together and talk about issues that they want to think about maybe for legislation, this has been number one since Measure 50 was put into effect. And what it does is it provides...
Just think about how exciting their conferences are.
Yeah, we talk about a lot. It provides that the lien for personal property taxes attaches on the day preceding the date that taxable personal property, which is furniture, fixtures, equipment, is removed from the county or sold or otherwise transferred if that sale is between January 1 or July 1st of the assessment year. Now, prior to Measure 5, the assessment date and the lien date for personal property was January 1, and at that point we did advance collections on anything that sold, moved, or closed between January 1 and the certification of the tax roll, so it's pretty much all year long. Measure 5 moved the assessment and lien date to July 1st. So if a business sold or moved or closed between July 1st and the turn of the roll, we collected at that time, and that was probably the best case scenario. But Measure 50, of course, separated the lien and the assessment date. And in my estimation and in my research, it's never, ever been separate. It's always been the same. So that's created a problem for us on the collection side. It creates a six-month period where there's an assessment, but there is no tax. So what ends up happening, and I'll give you an example, let's say a taxpayer owns a business on January 1st. They're required by law to file a personal property return, and they do so declaring their personal property that was in their possession on January 1. Now, in March, the business sells. In October, the seller receives a personal property tax statement from the county, and the seller contacts the county to find out, why am I getting the bill? I sold that property. Well, the way our statute reads is the January 1 owner is the person that is responsible for that liability. So what ends up happening then is the purchaser of the property hopefully will pay that tax. If they don't, then the seller is going to get a judgment recorded against them by the county for the non-payment of taxes, and then they'll have to go another avenue to try to collect that from them. Or maybe there's a penalty. Maybe the person that filed the return filed it late. So who's responsible for the penalty, the buyer or the seller? If we were able to collect that tax at the time of the sale, we can give that information to the title company or the attorney that's handling the sale, and they can determine then at that point who's responsible for what. I gave you a chart that kind of represents the current timeline for personal property. And like I say, in most cases we're going to collect the tax, and it's because we do issue a judgment, and that's how it's collected. I've been told by taxpayers that have been caught up in this situation that they would prefer to pay the tax at the time the business deal is closed. It lets the title companies, it lets attorneys, people, anybody who represents the buyer or the seller to work with the county and also work with those folks to determine whose responsibility is what, because everything's on the table at that point. Now, when you purchase a real piece of property, at the time of closing, your lender may require you to pay taxes in advance, and this assures that the tax bill, when it becomes due, that there's enough money in your escrow account to pay those funds, and then you are paying 1/12 in advance every month to cover that. And I think the same principle should be applied here. We want to collect in advance. I have a letter from Richard Spate's office, who they handle in the state of Oregon over 200 business closings. That's all they do. And they just wanted to let you know that, you know, the difficulty doesn't occur with any past due taxes. The difficulty occurs with the pending tax between January 1 and July 1st. When they're dealing with folks, they want us to remember that the tax lien is in the name of the owner on January 1 and the seller, but the lien follows the furniture equipment that's being purchased by the buyer. So when they have folks at the table, they're dealing with a lot of things besides our personal property tax. And they want to be assured that the buyer and the seller are both protected at the end of the sale. So they encourage you to also consider this House bill and vote favorably upon it. And with that, that's kind of it in a nutshell, and I'll answer any questions.
Questions? This is the same issue that we dealt with.
With manufactured
homes. Identical.
Identical.
Considerations.
Mm-hmm. Other than we're looking at probably a few more transactions.
Yeah, right. But I mean the issue of the timelines and when the lien attaches.
Exactly.
Representative Bates.
This is just for commercial property.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, it's for any personal property, any business that's required to file a return.
Business, though, I mean, that's...
Business.
Not your private home.
Right. No, no.
Okay. Only for property that's subject to property tax, personal property tax.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
And intangibles?
Not going there.
All right. Does anybody else wish to testify on House Bill 2027? If not, I will close the public hearing and open a work session. Yeah. Representative Kufori.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2027 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kufori moves House Bill 2027 to the floor with a due pass. Is there a discussion?
You promised this is the last one.
Huh?
You promised this is the last one.
Diane promises me that this is the last one. I want to note, Diane, that so that we get some credit in the AOC newsletter, that we are actually acting here to increase county collections by this. Okay, because we always hear when we're going the other direction. Nobody's here to tell us what a great job we're doing for them. Okay.
We appreciate it.
In that case, you might call the roll.
We're the heroes of the
AOC. Aye.
Excused.
Brown.
Aye.
Half.
Used.
Williams.
Used.
Rhett.
Used.
Aye.
Terrence
Powell.
Aye.
Kafori.
Aye.
Sarah Shatter. Aye. House Bill 2027 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We need a carrier. Volunteer. Who did the mobile home one?
Okay.
There you go.
I see a volunteer.
Those are the hard ones.
Okay. Then that takes us to our revisor's bill. Do we need Paul here? Or Dexter, you can tell us all about it, can't you? Okay, let's do that then. As long as we're on a roll, we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2777 and invite Dexter to tell us all about it.
Mr. Chair.
Most of it.
Mr. Chair and members, good afternoon. Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. House Bill 2777 is this session's version of a bill that is considered by the legislature every session, the Tax Revisors Bill. And its purpose is mainly to make non-substantive changes to the tax laws of this state to eliminate obsolete language, conform tax provisions to legislative form and style, correct grammar and spelling and that sort of thing. Basically, that's all I have to say about the bill. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? I just want to know if you've sneaked in any good ones on the revisor's bill that got to Judiciary Committee. There was, if you look at this committee at the end of each section, there's a note that sort of explains what that section does, and I think at the end of about section 96 or so of the revisor's bill that we got in Judiciary, it's something about deletes obsolete language and futzes with syntax. So I had occasion to ask Mr. Chamo what futzes mean, and I won an award for having picked up on something from the copy editor down in LC.
Well, Mr. Chair, there's no futzing in this bill.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in just moving this straight away. This is the committee. This is a one we do every 2 years to clean up the little bits and pieces that LC discovers through an ongoing review of the statutes. And unless there are any questions, I'm prepared to close the public hearing and move into work session.
Mr. Yeah. Dexter, who stays up at night and reads through and finds these things?
Mr. Chair and Representative Bates, actually most of these provisions, most of these changes show up during the editing process, which that takes place about 2 months after the end of the session when all the new laws are compiled, mixed together, and the end result is a new edition of ORS. And that's typically where most of these kind of glitches surface.
You actually have situations arise where it's not clear. You have to just try to clarify something on a particular tax form or for that particular individual.
In that situation, if it's not clear what was intended, that would be more of a substantive problem. And there's a form we have internally at Legislative Council that we'll highlight that, and then at that point we would, when circumstances permit, we would raise that as an issue for the legislature to address one way or the other. These don't rise to that level. These are much more.
It's just you have to fine bring through it.
Right.
All right. Anybody else wish to be heard on House Bill 2777? If not, I'll close the public hearing on that. It's been a work session.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kefouri.
I move House Bill 2777 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kefouri moves House Bill 2777 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll.
Representative
Bates.
Aye.
Staff.
Used.
Brown.
Aye.
Staff.
Used.
William.
Used.
Whip.
Used.
Vice Chair Pearl.
Aye.
Kefouri.
Aye.
Chair Shatterman.
Aye. House Bill 2777 goes forward with a due pass recommendation. Is there a volunteer to carry this one? Representative Carlson, you were looking eager on the last.
Oh, sure.
Okay. With that, then, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2777. And believe it or not, committee, efficient as we are, we have just concluded our business for the day, and we are adjourned.
This is it.
I think it's going to change. First hearing. All will set the stage.
So that's the whole point of that. Interest group meeting is the Farm Bureau. Very much. No, you still have to report it. Still have to report it. In fact, this just changes the dynamic of that debate. Still have to address apportionment. In fact, it may.
How did they?
Those percentage of tax layers of each level of tax on it. That's the revenue. Trade-offs on the other side. Capital gains, personal income tax. We're done. We got three bills.
Well, hold on. We still got it up for a quorum.
Guilty plea appeal. No, can't be made against it on the floor.
What do you work on in the interim? On the floor.
Did it get any other no vote?
I think maybe.
Is this your new bill?
Yeah.
I thought so. I sent you a note.
You're pretty brave. Hello, you'd ever want to sign on? Oh, yeah. You got to see Diane's granddaughter.